This past week, on a blog called Sojourners, Barbara Lundblad wrote, and I quote, "Some years ago, Carl Jung told the story of a man who asked a rabbi why God was revealed to many people in days of old, but now nobody sees God. Why is this?" he asked. The rabbi answered, "Because nowadays no one bows low enough." Unquote. We come to this Palm Sunday, a day in which we see God bowed low. We began outdoors with the procession. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, hailing Jesus as King. But Jesus is a King who comes riding on a donkey. Jesus is a King who comes with a group of people who are not armed. Jesus comes without trying to subdue or oppress the people or coerce them by force. We see Jesus come as a King who is lowly, riding on the back of a donkey. Jesus comes not in might, not in force, but in humility and in love. And just as when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, so our shouts of Hosanna turned very quickly into shouts of Crucify Him. For the reality is Jesus comes in peace, Jesus comes in love, and is rejected. God's love is refused. We humans seem to have this ability to construct a world which is full of who wins and who loses, who has power and who doesn't. A world where the mighty reign by force and violence. That was certainly true in Jesus' day, and sadly, it is still true. Hatred and violence are used around the world to subjugate people. We kill those we call enemies. It is no accident that in the Middle Ages, violence against the Jewish community rose during Holy Week. Weren't they the ones who killed Jesus? We hear that over and over in the Passion, the Jews, the Jews. So it is that even Christians have gone out and killed in the name of Jesus, the one who comes in humility and love. In our world today, Jesus still suffers in all who know violence, oppression, suffering, and injustice. There's a way in which Jesus comes to save us from those worst impulses of ourselves, to call us to say yes to the love of God, to call us to live that love in the world. But the crowd shout, "Crucify him," because Jesus comes upsetting the structures of the world as it is. Jesus will not live by our rules. Rather, he comes to humbly serve. He comes always to love. And he comes freely forgiving. So if you want to see God, if you want to know where God is, look to the one humbly riding a donkey with that ragtag group of followers. Look to the one who kneels washing dirt off the feet of his followers. And look to the one who hangs on the tree, his only crime, loving humanity. In our epistle this morning, we heard about God emptying God's self and coming among us, being humbled, taking the form of a servant. The letter to the Philippians says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." For that is where we find God, on a cross, loving, forgiving those who kill him. And we, as followers of Jesus, are called to do the same. To hate the ways of this world, the ways of violence, of winners and losers. We're called to serve all humbly in his name. We are called to love all as he does. And we're called to forgive all as he does. God comes to us in the person of Jesus to free us from those worst impulses of what it means to be human and to raise us to the divine life, to the love of the Holy Trinity. And this week we have an invitation to walk through these coming days. It will be challenging. We will have moments like we had today where we shout Hosanna one moment and crucify him the next. It could be hard to admit that human impulse to want to kill others. We'll be challenged to honestly accept that hate can infect our hearts as humans. And it can be hard to gaze on the one hanging on a tree, the horror and the violence that humanity has perpetrated against him. But the journey also offers a promise, the promise of moving from sinfulness, from brokenness, into that eternal love of God, love stronger than sin, love stronger than death. And so this week we will walk with Jesus from this triumphal entry in Jerusalem on to Thursday night, where he washes feet, where he offers his body and blood in signs of bread and wine. We'll go to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch and pray, trying to stay awake. And then on Friday, we go to the cross and see the worst of what humanity can do. On Saturday, we go to the tomb and we wait. But then on Saturday night, we dare to kindle a fire in the dark. Dare to say, death is not the end. The tomb cannot contain Jesus. And so we gather that night and we celebrate God's faithfulness in raising Jesus from the dead. And that promise that through baptism, we too can pass from death into the fullness of his abundant life. And so I say to you this day, will you say yes to this invitation, to walking this way this week? Will you walk with Jesus and his followers as we trace his steps? I'd like to close with words. It's a poem written by Edith Williams, and it was set to music by Harold Friedel, who was an organist in New York City. And for me, it captures so beautifully, in far fewer words than I have used, that sense of God being humbled, taking on humanity and loving. Jesus so lowly, child of the earth, christen me holy, bring me new birth. Jesus so lonely, weary and sad, teach me that only love maketh glad. Jesus so broken, silent and pale, be this the token love will not fail. Jesus victorious, mighty and free, teach me how glorious death is to be. Amen.